Welcome back to A Fine Time for Healing, a place where your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being are all that matter. So put your feet up, relax, and enjoy today's show. Today I have with us Derek Duchesny, I hope I'm saying that right, who battled with depression and suicidal thoughts, exhausting traditional treatments without finding relief. And in 2019, he reluctantly tried ketamine therapy and experienced a rapid mental transformation. Inspired by his own journey, Derek collaborated with clinicians from Stanford's Psychedelic Science Center and Depression Research Clinic to explore ways to increase accessibility to psychedelic medicine. And we have actually had his partner, Dr. Sam Zand, on before. And today we're going to talk to Derek for a different approach. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So give us a little background about who you are. What is your background?
My background, it's taken a couple of interesting turns throughout my life. I grew up in a little farm town in Wisconsin. I moved to Los Angeles when I was 18 to become a writer. And that turned into working with Disney, becoming a host, becoming an actor, having a production company, and kind of going the entertainment route for 10 or so plus years, and did all kinds of fun things in that world and worked with a lot of incredible people like Bruce Willis, Robert De Niro, and all kinds of exciting things. And then I moved back home to Wisconsin to take care of my mom. She had MS, fibromyalgia, cancer, all kinds of things, and moved home to take care of her. And we kind of started on this adventure and this road trip across the country because she couldn't fly. She had a lot of heart issues, and we're trying all kinds of different types of alternative medicines, alternative therapies. And that led me to exploring a very kind of discovering a very lesser known non-psychoactive cannabinoid that helped her with a lot of her issues. And I started a company called Healing Ventures, and Healing Ventures was initially like helping large CPG product lines, adding ingredients to their products to help people with alternative medicine, alternative treatments. And that company did very well. And we ended up scaling, ended up scaling that to about 300 people at our peak. And in 2019, I was on the road for 300 days in about 40 some countries because the industry that we were in kind of blew up. And so every day I was at a different expo around the world for, whether it was cosmetics, food and beverage, health and wellness, tobacco, pets. It was always something different. And that led me to also being in different time zones a lot of the times and meeting with my doctor, my psychiatrist. And he's like, all right, well, you're traveling a lot, so here, take this to help you sleep on the plane. All right, now you're exhausted a lot, so take this to help keep you awake. Now you're stressed out a lot, now take this, and I never really struggled with depression, and definitely not suicide or suicidal ideation until I did. I've always kind of saw the brighter side of life and come from very humble beginnings. And that like around the same time in 2019, we're going through an acquisition. I found out all kinds of crazy things was happening within the company while I was on the road. So half of my identity or who my happiness or who I was as a person was tied to my business. Mm-hmm. And the other half, and I didn't realize it at the time, but the other half was tied to the relationship that I was in. And when both of those kind of took a 180 around the same time, while I was financially more well off than I ever imagined I would be, it was kind of like the rug pulled beneath me, and all of my happiness was based on external factors. Mm-hmm. And adding that into now taking antidepressants and now like going to the traditional routes of trying to battle this or cope with these things, I just got worse and worse. And it wasn't until one day I was sitting there looking out at the sunset and thinking it was going to be my last sunset. And and then that a friend dragged me into this ketamine clinic, which in my head was this is a horse tranquilizer. This is stupid. Nothing's ever going to work for me. I've just tried every, you know, I was trying all the traditional paths, and I was eating healthy. I was working out. I was seeing a therapist. I was taking antidepressants, and I was just getting worse. And that one session probably saved my life.
Wow. Okay. You know, you were talking about that external validation, and my expertise is in narcissistic abuse, and most people who have been either brought up with narcissistic abuse from a parent or in their family, or have had a relationship with someone like that, they depend on external validation. And when you depend on external validation, it makes you very vulnerable to people taking advantage of you and other things like that. And also depression, because you're not validating who you are from within. So it's interesting that you brought that topic up. And I just wanted to say that it's very important for all of us to learn to be able to validate from within. But you had so many changes in your identity of who you were, what you were doing, what you were good at. There was a lot of shifts, and that's got to be difficult too. So tell us about what ketamine therapy is.
So there's different kind of variations of it, right? And there's ketamine therapy, you know, by itself is if you look at the FDA approved Johnson & Johnson version of it, that is, it's covered by insurance. It has to be done in office, and it's a nasal spray. It's done at a very low dose, and you're under supervision. And it is typically afterwards, you will have a conversation with a therapist or somebody there to support you, and that's, you know, that version of it. The thing I think what the unique thing about ketamine therapy and the other variations of it or IV or methods of administration or IV, intramuscular IM, or at home, which is our primary core, our core offering, because it's where we see the most successful people, is where you take and the at home and the IV IMs is not FDA approved. That's prescribed off label. And that's, you know, a whole other conversation, but it's prescribed off label. One in like four psychiatric medications are. And when you take the medicine, it's really to help us. Like, what is like the, you know, a great therapist do, right? They ask the right questions and they help us find the right answers. And, you know, you could get advice from your best friend or from a family member or a medical professional or therapist. And most of us, at least for me, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be too receptive to it. Kind of goes in one ear at the other. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm there for help and there for guidance, but it doesn't really stick until our brain navigates to that conclusion on its own. And but what ketamine therapy does, it allows us to, I mean, it depends on the situational, and everybody's unique. But for me, especially with struggling with suicidal thoughts and very, like, when we're very depressed, our brain gets stuck in these loops. And, you know, mine was, I am not worthy of love. I am not worthy of living. All I do is make things worse for everyone. And we get stuck in these repetitive, dark, negative cycles. And there's this theory about suicide called, your brain reaches this point called burst mode. And that's when you have extended periods of chronic stress or anxiety or depression or alcoholism, and nothing that you do for a period of time is releasing dopamine or norepinephrine in your brain. And you can be, you know, exercising, getting sunshine, all the normal ingredients that you need to, you know, go into a recipe of being happy. And nothing's making you feel that or feel any type of connection. And you feel so, like, my theory on suicide as well is like that we feel so disconnected from ourselves and the outside world that it just doesn't, you know, that it seems like our brain keeps going to that. The most logical reason is to leave this place, and it's the only way out. Yet we all know, or we all see the people that have friends or know somebody that has taken their life, and we know that that's not the truth, right? It's like their brains are sick. It's not like, you know, when they're telling themselves that the world's better off without them or they shouldn't be here, like that's not usually ever true. And for ketamine therapy, for me and for a lot of people that we work with, it allows us to immediately separate from those repetitive negative cyclical thoughts. And it was like, for me, like immediately just like, boop, just popped me out of it and allowed me to look at all of these thoughts that were happening in my head and look at all these situations. Like I was, you know, about to be married and about to go through this big acquisition and look at all these things that were happening in my life and these very traumatic, dark, transitional moments, and was able to look at them as exactly that, just things that happened in my life. And all these thoughts in my head, as opposed to them being facts or my reality, I was able to look at them as exactly that, just thoughts in my head, right? So just separating myself from all of this. And I was like, oh, okay, that's, you know, these are just things and these are just thoughts. It's not who I am and it doesn't define who I am. These are all just moments in my life. And so when you can step away and look at things from a different perspective, right? Like when you change the Wayne Dyer said, when you change the way that you see the world changes. And
so
it immediately gave me that perspective shift. And for a lot of people, I think that's where the real power and the healing is when we separate from our default mode network and separate from our thoughts. It's like that shortcut to meditation. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to get perspective and clarity without, like, it allows us to quiet that inner roommate and that inner chatter. And when you're anxious or depressed, that inner roommate is not your friend.
Right. That changing a perspective is everything. And so I coach people going through this kind of abuse and trauma all over the world. And really, that's my initial goal, is to get them to change the way that they're thinking. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do on your own because it takes a lot of repetition before you can lock into that changed perspective. But this is interesting, you know, that ketamine can take you there. Now, I've had several clients who have had ketamine therapy, and I've heard a mixed bag. Now, is this psychedelic therapy? Is that what this is?
So yes, it is. Technically called psychedelic therapy, even though ketamine is not it's technically labeled as a pseudo psychedelic, is because it's more as an anesthetic. There's different types of psychedelic or ketamine therapy. There's one where people are quote unquote microdosing and taking it on a daily basis. Our medical team and myself are highly, highly against that. It's, you know, it is not like. Like I believe in most antidepressants and SSRIs, our bodies we're not static individuals. We're dynamic. We're always changing. And the goal of Spravato, or if you look at other programs out there similar to Better You, like New Life or Mind Bloom, or companies that have come to this with a very research heavy and safety heavy approach, is that we don't believe that ketamine should ever be taken every single day, even at low doses. And if you look at the FDA approved version of Johnson & Johnson's Spravato, or if you look at other approaches or IV therapy in office, the maximum you want to do it is twice a week, and to be able to allow your body to not only process the experience, but then flush out the medicine and heal and clean it out and come back to an experience. So there's the lighter kind of one program that's out there that I think is going to hurt this type of treatment, or could potentially ruin this type of treatment for a lot of people, because daily ketamine, in my opinion, is dangerous, and a lot of medical professionals' opinion, when done properly in the right dosage in the right setting, once or twice a week, can be life-saving and transformational.
Right. People who microdose may be using psilocybin, or they may be using LSD to microdose. Mm-hmm. Do you see the same risks or lack of effect with those medications versus ketamine?
So since we, like, you know, everything that we do has to go through the medical boards, the pharmacy boards, the DEA, so we cannot give any guidance on, you know, psilocybin or LSD, or you know, the only thing we can give guidance on is ketamine. We highly recommend against microdosing with ketamine. People do it, I just think that the long-term effects and potential for psychological dependence and cravings, bladder issues, like these are all things that can come with doing long-term daily use of ketamine. It's effective, but it's still a powerful drug, and it needs to be done properly, responsibly. I've personally and a lot of friends and a lot of colleagues that microdose regularly with psilocybin and LSD as well. The two very different things, right? And these are all very different molecules that do very, very different things. Mm-hmm. My mother personally microdoses on used to be psilocybin and now LSD, and she has early onset and it's helped. And if you look at Stanford, the research they're doing there, there's an analog of LSD that's I think in phase two for clinical trials for Alzheimer's and dementia. So really fascinating science there. The biggest issue and challenge and danger with either one of those is the supply chain, since it's not regulated, that, you know, especially with psilocybin products, like you don't know how much is in each thing. It is a natural substance similar to cannabis, is an organic product. So the amount of, you know, psilocybin or the active ingredient in, you know, one piece of one capsule or one chocolate or whoever it is that they're taking it can be significantly higher or less than the time before. So it's that consistency and really, really the supply chain. I'm really grateful and excited that we live in a time, Randy, where you and I can have this conversation about these types of things that are incredibly beneficial for people. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge advocate for safe and responsible use for many different types of psychedelics. Mm-hmm. And I do, if you look at some of the smartest people in the world, or people that have shaped our generation and many generations and pop culture and music, you know, it comes from largely from the psychedelic movement back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And so the kind of pioneering that, I think if you look at where that has went into research being shut down for MDMA, for ibogaine, for LSD, for psilocybin, for ketamine, when that was all shut down in the 70s, and then late 90s, early 2000s the research started to become more well-funded and allowed in the United States. And then really the Trojan horse for all of these things, being able to come to market and really accelerate the research and the capital being poured into this biotech and the future of a lot of these different types of revolutionary healthcare treatments and modalities all happened in 2019 when the FDA approved Spravato. And that was kind of the beginning of the floodgates opening, or the Trojan horse. And if you look at the effectiveness of ibogaine for opiate addiction, like when we have somebody that comes to us and unfortunately, you know, we live in America, like opiate addiction is rampant. And we work with a lot of professional athletes. We work with a lot of different types of people that just went through the medical system and it failed them, right? And they get injured, or they get injured at work, and you go to the doctor and they say, "Hey, here, take these pills. All right, now stop taking them." Similarly, like if somebody goes through a traumatic experience, as they're in a car accident or get shot, like something like this, you get to see, they start taking all these different, you know, your pain pills, nerve pills, antidepressants, you know, stuff for PTSD, and you're on this cocktail of things that your body is just getting thrown all out of whack. And while I'm not anti most medications, it's really the responsible use, and I think that the training for psychiatry isn't like our happiness, and I'm sure Randy you'll agree, is that like it's not one thing makes us happy, right? It's a recipe. Like during the pandemic, we work with so many patients that would say, "I did my ketamine therapy and I had the best week of my life. Thank you." Like, mm-hmm. Great. When's the last time that, you know, you went outside? And they're like, "Oh, it's the pandemic. It's been like a month." Or, how's your diet? And they're like, "Oh, I weigh 400 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, while you had a great week, this isn't going to last, right? We need exercise. We need to sweat. We need to move. We need sunshine. We need healthy food. And on top of all those things, our self-talk and our programming and our self-love and our daily habits, right? So it's a lot of moving parts. And we live in a society where people are used to going to the doctor and they're saying, "Take this pill, you'll get better."
Right.
And unfortunately, that's like where, you know, that's been the uphill battle trying to help people. And then people get very frustrated, or even worse, they give up because
Exactly.
they're taking the pill and they're not feeling
not
better.
Helping. Right. Yeah. I mean, I relate to this, and it's part of the reason why I do this show, because traditional Western medicine has worked for me in very, very few situations. Mostly it's been holistic medication, it's been alternative medication, it's been through nutrition, it's been through herbs and acupuncture and a whole variety of things that I've been able to maintain. If I had relied on Western medicine, I would be comatose. I would not have survived. So I completely agree with that. Do you think that your depression and suicidal ideation came from this cocktail of medications you were given?
So when I initially, I didn't think so at all. And now looking back after having connected with thousands of patients personally and seeing where they come from and the headspace that they're at and the medications that they're on a lot of times prior to attempting suicide or having suicidal ideation. At first, I didn't, like the first, you know, like 2 years, I didn't really think that it was. I thought it was very situational. I thought it was because my company or my business partners were kind of in the rocks, that my relationship fell apart because I was working too much. And, you know, and I just kind of attached that situation to that. And then now in hindsight, looking at like leading up to that, right? And like when I started to have a lot more stress issues and losing my coping abilities, which I think came along when I was taking Adderall, and like just higher stress and higher anxiety and like triggered a lot more and more anger. And then Xanax for flights. And then a month in, I couldn't sleep without taking Xanax, and then switched to trazodone. And then they switched me to mirtazapine, and these were all supposed to be just for helping sleep. Right? And I became like, I used to always have this, and I think I'm back there, fortunately, but it took a long time. But I always had this natural zest and excitement for life and for what the day holds and the opportunities and being thoughtful of my time. And when I started, you know, I don't know if it was when all these things started happening, but it was definitely a bit before when I started to notice that my zest for life or getting out of bed every day was getting harder and harder, and I was snoozing more and more, and I just didn't feel like anything was like I was losing that connection, right? And I think that a big problem or a common thing when you look at like where we're at and where especially like violence on a national level, gun violence, suicide, teenage suicide, particularly, that like where you look at where we're at as a society, and if you look at how much like the over prescribing, over diagnosing has changed. And like when I connect with patients, I had this woman, she was in late 60s, early 70s, and this was a couple of years ago. And she's like, when I hug my grandchild, I feel nothing. When I see my husband, I feel nothing. He's like, I feel like I'm a bad person. She goes, I could see somebody get hit by a car and I would feel nothing. And she'd been on SSRIs for 25 plus years. And then she's like, I know this isn't going to work for me. And that's my favorite kind of person to talk to.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and depression can, you know, depression can do that. It can completely take away your zest for anything. So the relying on any one of the medications that you were given can be a problem. It can throw a system way off. So this cocktail of all these medications, Adderall and Xanax, there's just no way your brain was functioning well. So, you know, I have to believe that that had a lot to do with it, because you told me about your history, your past. You were very motivated. You were very upbeat. You were very positive, you know. And then this change. So when we have those tools in our tool belt, when we know how to deal with life already, and we're hit with really difficult situations later on, usually we have a way to get through it. Maybe a little bit of help, but we do have a way to get through it. So I don't believe it was the situations that happened in your life. I believe you were chemically altered to a point where your brain didn't know what to do anymore. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And the reason I was sharing the experience with the patient is because that's when I started to realize that, like, I just kind of lost that zest for life and that connection. And I think that when, like, if you look at our medical system or psychiatry in particular, where it's, you know, hasn't really changed in the last 100 years, it's based off Freudian and Rockefeller methods, where you treat the diagnose the illness and treat the symptom, as opposed to helping people through their journey and find healing and process and come out the other side. And when I realized that, just talking to more and more patients, and I was like, wow, all these people are feeling, you know, very similarly to what I was going through. And I think what happens is when we're quote unquote masking the symptoms with certain medications or several, is that we build these walls up where we are no longer feeling that connection to ourselves. And when we lose that feeling, you know, we also lose a lot of things like remorse, regret, you know, clarity, empathy. And I think a lot of these very critical human emotions that allow us to reason and to thrive and to live in a positive, productive way, a lot of these things, you know, it dims our light as opposed to brightening us. And so I definitely think it had a big part to do with it. And I think that a lot of people I talk to, it's, you know, it's horror stories about their psychiatrist. They're like, yeah, they, you know, met me for 15 minutes and they gave me 10 different medications. And a week, you know, or a month later, I was way worse. And they said, I want to get off of these things or try something else. And the psychiatrist like, no, I think we should increase the dosage. Right? And this happens so much. And the approach I think that everybody should do before they, you know, get medicated is look at, you know, is first going to talk therapy and finding somebody that can help them and really just listen and connect and give them, you know, more of a playbook or accountability coaching or life coaching or talk therapy or, like, you know, starting with that and devising a plan with somebody to change your habits and change your thought patterns. If that's not working, I think ketamine therapy isn't the cure-all by any means, but it's an incredible tool in our arsenal. And it's that catalyst. Like, it's, if you tell somebody that's depressed, like, hey, go get more sunshine, or hey, you should work out more, they're not going to be really receptive, right? But when you give them, a week or two, like one or two treatments of ketamine therapy, and it kind of helps reset that damage and that stress, and it helps reset their brain, a lot of times it gives them, you know, that little bit of motivation that they need to change their habits and to reprogram their thought patterns. So when you say, like, that's why in our program on week one or month, you know, 2 weeks, we're not saying, hey, get outside and exercise, or hey, change your self-talk or change your diet. We wait until 3-4 weeks in, because it allows them to, that neuroplasticity to reset and their brain to become more malleable. Right? So I think that looking at your habits, your, like, you know how much time psychiatrists, Randy, you know how much time they spend on, and I talked to several in med school on nutrition.
My son is a doctor. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So from four hours, right? Four hours.
I know.
Which is mind blowing to me, because so much of your happiness is what you're eating and coming from your gut. And so when I was like, okay, well, you spent 4 hours on this and, you know, 150 hours on how to not get sued. I think that focusing on nutrition when you're dealing with mental health, that should be, you know, if you're an MD, right, that's all it is, right? But that's really what you're focusing on. But if you're an MD and psychiatrist, it's or a DO, it's like, it's 4 hours, and it's mind blowing to me. And then if you look at the programming and their curriculum and their programming to be a psychiatrist, it's all written by the pharmaceutical industry, right? So it's like, it's not your doctor's fault. They're doing what they were trained to do, right? And fortunately, like, you know, one of my partners, Better You, teaches a psychedelic medicine residency for doctors at UNLV. We've seen it. That was the first one. We've seen one pop, a couple of great ones pop up now at UC San Francisco, a handful of schools across the country. Yale is one of the more prominent ones, and ketamine therapy, really that research came heavily out of Yale and the work they've been doing there for the last 20 years.
That's great. My son is a DO, so he mm-hmm. went to osteopathic school, which is a little mm-hmm. more holistic than allopathic medicine. However, mm-hmm. he did not get that training. He was brought up with that training and has continued that.
That's because he has you as a mom, you know.
He's a gym rat. His diet is perfect, you know. He knows how to eat.
Yeah.
So he had it within him, which is going to help him along the way. But he's going mm-hmm. into cosmetic surgery, so I don't know how much, you know, diet and nutrition is going to affect that. but yeah, I do know. And there's a lot of things in his training that the lack of training that really bothered me. And then when they go into residency, they have to comply with everything that they've learned and they have to do it that way. So mm-hmm. there's very little deviation. So they don't really get to practice that. But there are, just as in psychiatry, psychology, and in with physicians, mm-hmm. there are out of the box thinkers that observe things and realize that what they know isn't all they need to know. There's other mm-hmm. things, you know, and those are the trailblazers in these areas. By the way, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And so mm-hmm. and I know my son was the first one to talk to me about LSD and psilocybin mushrooms. And I was like, what? You know, these are horrible. These are dangerous things, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was able to explain to me how it's changing psychiatry and the benefits of it. And so, yes, this whole dialogue has opened up. I'm really happy about it. And so let me ask you about ketamine. So I have a client. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, insurance covers it, but you have to get approved. Okay, so not everybody gets approved, all right? So mm-hmm. that's sometimes mm-hmm. a problem. And then if they have to pay out of pocket, that can be quite expensive. But mm-hmm. he was suffering severe depression and he went through the full ketamine program with a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. It did not help him at all. And I imagine that, like you say, there's not one solution for every problem. Mm-hmm. So, do you think there's contraindications for this?
There's definitely two parts to you know what you just said. So if he went through with a psychiatrist and did Spravato, here is my take without upsetting Johnson & Johnson too much. My take on that is that ketamine has been used successfully. Like if you have an infant child and they break their arm and they go to the hospital, the first thing they give them is ketamine. Okay. And because it is at much higher doses, at, you know, 10 times what you'd get for a mental health treatment it's an anesthetic, right? And mm-hmm. and so at much higher doses, it's the only anesthetic out there that doesn't affect your respiratory system. So it's incredibly safe. It's been used in hospitals daily, globally for the last 50 plus years on the World Health Organization's list of mm-hmm. essential medicines. And it's one of the most researched pharmaceuticals that exists. And so you can't patent it, right? It's been around since the 70s and legal and used daily since the 70s. So in order for Johnson & Johnson to be able to patent it and get the FDA approval and then insurance coverage, they had to modify the molecule. So if you think of ketamine as a molecule, it's the left and the right isomers. And then so you pull away the right and now you just have the left. And so that's the S-ketamine, which is half the molecule. Okay. So when done in office with Spravato, it's a very rigorous program. And like you said, it could be, you know, $100 with insurance, or it could be $2,000 cash pay for Spravato. That is a very low dose. And with that low dosage, in my experience of working with a lot of different Spravato clinics, is that some clinicians will give them the Spravato and then immediately talk to them the whole time. without allowing them to the medicine to like allowing them to take a break from their thoughts and allowing them to find that clarity or have that journey by themselves. And so they have that talking to them while they're in this heightened state of, you know, neuroplasticity, but it really, it keeps your brain in this executive mode network, right? So you're kind of separating from the default mode network, but now you're going into tasks and response, right? So somebody's communicating with you and you're like, your brain's trying to disconnect and you keep bringing it back and keep like trying to have conversations. It's like similar with MDMA therapy where that the entire time you're talking to a therapist and you're looking at it with this heightened clarity and change in mood. But with Spravato, where I've seen that program not work, like where I've seen it really be effective, is when they give you the medicine, they put the blood pressure cuff on, and then they give you headphones and a meditation mask, and they leave you alone for 45 minutes. And then they come back and have a talk therapy session with you. Mm-hmm. Where I've seen it not be effective is where they give it to you and they're just talking to you the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then you're not like stepping away and you're just focusing on trying to answer the questions with, yeah. So that's where I've seen it not be successful.
Okay.
That also being said is that ketamine therapy is not right for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Just because it helped me and it's helped, you know, a lot of people doesn't mean it's right for everyone. We're all very different in our backgrounds, the amount of medications that we've taken. That's a huge factor in it for most people with ketamine therapy. Like I said, the woman I spoke about before, it took her 8 sessions before we had any type of breakthrough because your brain, because we had to, you know, the medicine has to chew through all those years and years of damage from the antidepressants in her brain before then she finally, you know, called and she was crying saying like, I watched a comedy last night with my son and we laughed and we hugged. And this morning I was crying and I was happy that I'm feeling again, that I'm crying. And so it could be the dosage, the treatment, a handful of things. And if you look at the contraindications, the major ones are if they have a history of psychosis or schizophrenia,
okay,
definitely not good candidates. And it's interesting, if they have bipolar, if they're not currently in a manic state, it can be incredibly effective. If they're in a manic state and they do a session, it can be very traumatic and very harmful because it can exacerbate that manic state and make it worse.
Oh, wow.
And so these are things to be very cautious and very thoughtful of. Anybody that has any type of history of any of these things, you know, are not good candidates for at home. They could be good candidates for in office, but you're going to make sure that the clinician blocks out an extra couple of hours pre and post to make sure that they're in the right headspace for it. Mm-hmm. The history of liver failure or liver disease, not a good candidate since the medicine is processed in your liver. A history or a recent heart attack or stroke is, you know, if it was within the last 6 months, it's not recommended. If it's longer, sometimes the doctors will do it if it's like over a year. Uncontrolled hypertension, because it does increase your blood pressure for the duration of the session, typically around an hour. The sessions last for about 45 to 90 minutes, depending on dosage and duration. And the way, like I said before, that I've seen it to be most effective is where they're administered the medicine, whether orally, IV, IM, nasal spray, sleep mask, headphones, and allows them to kind of disconnect from the external stimulation. Like it's not like LSD or psilocybin or MDMA where you're looking around and the world's this big, you know, colorful, different, exciting place. Mm-hmm. It's disconnecting your senses and removing your senses. So you're doing this deep dive inwards, right? And allows us to process things, you know, maybe things that we like about ourselves and shine a light on those and really like work through things that we don't like about ourselves.
I mean, that answers a lot of questions. And thank you for that. I mean, my client had a heart attack at a very young age. Mm-hmm. I believe his blood pressure was high. And I'm not really sure how it was administered. As a matter of fact, I think he told me that it was an alternative to ketamine. I don't know if there is an alternative to ketamine because he couldn't get approved for ketamine. And so the doctor gave him something else. But he described feeling very weird when he got, you know, when he came out of it for like a mm-hmm. whole day. Do people describe that sometimes?
So that also depends on the method of administration. If you're getting an IV or IM, you're deep for about an hour, and then you have maybe 30, 45 minutes before returning to your baseline, and then you're back to normal. Like me, right after my first session, I was in IV. I went for a run immediately after, and I hadn't worked out or ran for months. So that was really good to clear my head. The oral administration, if you ingest it, which we typically tell people not to unless you have chronic pain, because you get the analgesic pain relief benefits. But if you ingest it, it can kind of come back in waves, and it kind of, like, you can have longer side effects or nausea can come back. If you spit out or expel the medicine, then the likelihood of those longer side effects aren't really there. So some people, if it's ingested, it can kind of be a few hours or half a day to come back to your baseline. But if you expel it, or if it's IV, then it's typically you return to your baseline fairly quick.
So what about people who are in the throes of PTSD or complex PTSD, and they are highly traumatized? Because I had another client who was in that state, so traumatized, and went to ketamine to try to shortcut out of this. I don't think that she was, benefited from it. So what is your feelings with that?
So similar to what we said before, is that these are all different psychedelics and different medicines for different things. So I believe the ketamine for depression, suicidal ideation, and anxiety, the best thing, in my opinion, that exists for it. When it comes to PTSD is very tricky. And a lot of people, especially veterans, we work with very heavily with the veteran population, is that if you're going in for an IV or IM, you're typically paying $500 to $1,000 for this, right? So the doctors or the clinicians, you want to make sure that you feel like you got your money's worth. And a lot of these aren't run by psychiatrists. A lot of these are run by anesthesiologists that don't have training in mental health, similar to the first time I got one. But there's no treatment preparation. There's no support. Like, the medicine by itself can be effective, but having that support pre-session to prime the brain and get you in the right space, and then post-session to help you reflect, process, and digest it, are two incredibly important things. And that's why I started Better You, because I didn't get that when I had my session. And while the medicine worked, I saw how it could be done so much better and give people a better chance. So with PTSD, if you go into a clinic and you're a veteran and your entire brain and life and programming has been trained, if you lose control of a situation or you lose control of your surroundings, that could be life or death for you, right? So you go into this fight or flight, a very anxious state. And a lot of times for sexual assault victim survivors as well, right? Or somebody that's, if they were assaulted in a public place or shot in a public place, right? They walk in, they're looking at the exits in the room, right? And that's just how their brain works.
Right.
So you take somebody that's been through these things and you send them very deep, kind of down the rabbit hole, where they've now lost, their sense of time, reality, and you send them down to this deeper kind of psychedelic experience, like, psychedelics can be just as traumatic as they are therapeutic if not done properly with the right guidance, the right dosage, the right setting. And it's like, a lot of people come to us and they're like, I am struggling with this, and I'm going to see this shaman that's going to give me this hero dose of psychedelics of mushrooms, and they've never done psychedelics before. And like, that's a 6 hour plus journey. Like, are you sure you're ready for this? Right. It can be very long, very traumatic, very powerful, but like, it can also do a lot of damage if not done properly.
Yes,
so ketamine therapy with PTSD, where we've seen a tremendous amount of success, and it took us a while to it's trial and error, is starting at a very, very, very low dose for week one, week two, week three, and slowly titrate up. So their brain's acclimating to the experience. So they're acclimating to the experience. So we start at this kind of medication enhanced meditation. And then once we get to the medication enhanced meditation, then we move into a slightly higher dose and a slightly higher dose. And we typically, a lot of the times, we won't get them to a full kind of therapeutic psychedelic experience, but they're still receiving the neurobiological benefits. So it helps them, it helps the rest of the programming and training to be more receptive to it. But it's not, it's not right for everything. And PTSD is one of those things that it's not right for everyone for ketamine.
Right. I mean, if you have PTSD or see PTSD, your amygdala is like on fire, And it's very, very hard to get out of that state. And so, I was curious about that. It sounds like your clinic does it right, which I'm really happy to hear about that. And this is great for people to hear, because if anybody's tried this and really has not had success, you may want to, let's see, your clinic is, Better You. You may want to contact the Better You clinic. You're in Vegas, right?
So we have locations in about 12 different states. And, oh, okay. and we do telemedicine in 14 states. But we're primarily in Los Angeles. We have a clinic in Las Vegas as well. And we do, like I said, we do telemedicine in 14 states. We're expanding to 20 by the end of the year. We're also expanding into med management, but only for, like, if somebody comes to us and they want to get off of their Xanax or get off of X, Y, and Z medication, if our prescribers did not prescribe that, we legally cannot give them advice to wean off of it. And we've seen that our program has really been, after people work through their depression, anxiety, or PTSD, or chronic stress, that it's really like the next step is, hey, do I need to be on these other things, or can I live, you know, without them? So we help them explore that path. So we're expanding into that, and also expanding on our talk therapy piece as well, and helping people find, you know, ketamine therapy isn't right for everyone, and helping them find what works for them. And in our program, it includes nutrition, meditation, breath work, and our app includes programming from healing from sexual trauma, moving through grief, heal, grow, love, transcend, which focuses on your self-love and healing from past trauma, all kinds of different programs in there.
So. Sounds really amazing. Do you have a psychiatrist at every location?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. So you probably have a training program for
we
doctors
do.
Who want to do this, right?
We do. We have a 12-hour video program, and then we also have Dr. Zan hosts a program for psychotherapists and integration coaches that they want to incorporate psychedelic medicine. The next thing we're going to launch is expanding our programming to all the Spravato clinics across the country, because a lot of them are treating people with Spravato, thankfully, but like I said, the program, that they don't have the guidance or direction that we've seen to be most effective. So we're just going to offer our program for free to those clinics that want to help people with, you know, through the app, and give them, here's what you do on the days between your sessions. Here's what you do on the weeks after your sessions, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not just giving them that playbook. And because a lot of times people will come through a treatment program like, wow, I feel really good. But what do I do now? Do I fall back into old habits, which will then turn into old thought patterns? Mm-hmm. Or how do we keep this momentum going and then staying on, or offering our accountability coaching or our therapists as well?
So there's the approach is multifaceted. It's that this, but all the other things that are around it, which I agree. I think there's a lot of approaches that everybody needs to meditate, and everybody needs nutrition, and everybody needs to mindfulness of what they're thinking and how they're thinking. And there's a multi-level approach to this. So it sounds really, really good. So you said you're in 14 states currently. So in every one mm-hmm. of those states, do you take insurance from people in those states? Are you licensed for that?
We do not. So the only two places, or sorry, four places we take insurance, and that is Boise, Idaho, Salt Lake, Utah, Nevada, and Los Angeles. And we will be hopefully in Miami soon, but it's primarily cash pay and not Spravato.
Right. Yep. Because I know if you're not of a state where the physician is licensed, you know, it's out of pocket. Insurance isn't going to cover it. So that's an important thing to note. Well, this sounds really, really interesting. And I learned a lot today. It's because, you know, when you have people who tell you, you know, it's okay, you know, mm-hmm. I did it, you know, I'm not really feeling much better. Then, you know, I started to get kind of like, well, maybe this isn't the best thing. But I've heard that it's really great. And I know that through your clinic, you do it right. So is there anything else you want to share with us before we finish?
I just wanted to thank you, Randy, for everything that you do and the education that you put out there and the way that you're helping people, because it's all about the information, right? And most of us, like we just don't have it, or we're Google searching, trying to find different ways for healing or improving our lives and our self-talk. So listen to your podcast. And I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing and for dedicating your life into enlightening and helping share other people's journeys and stories and really impactful and powerful information, as well as highlighting us. So just thank you for letting us be a part of it.
That's really sweet. I do my podcast. The theory behind this podcast is that I very rarely do the same topic and do the same show or whatever. I bring topics of, physical, mental, spiritual, holistic, anything like that. But I like to bring different approaches because I know, like for me, not every approach of everything works. So I like to throw a lot of information out there so people can go, oh, that resonates with me, and they can sort of find their way. But thank you for recognizing that. I really do appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you so much. And like we said before, you had patients that, they tried ketamine therapy and it could have been helpful, but maybe it wasn't. I hear that all the time. It's like, pizza can be really good if it's done right. Right. So it's not done properly, and it's unfortunate, the training out there and really the support when you're giving people these mind altering or transformational or powerful medicines, like they don't tell you afterwards, stay off your phone. Don't talk to people that are negative in your life. If you're stressful at home, like don't go, like if there's, don't watch a scary movie or TV show, or don't watch a reality show. Stay off social media because our brains are much more malleable. So if you go home after a session or immediately after, and you're talking to your friend group that gossips, right, or you're talking to a family member or a relative on the phone that kind of just brings you down and is critical, like all of these things, our brains are like sponges during this time. So when they're doing and they fall back into normal patterns, it can, make it, it can almost immediately kind of cancel out the benefits of it. But if you do the opposite and you have a structured plan and approach for growth and reprogramming and reflection and integration and self-talk, and then it gives us the best chance for success.
What is the average treatment length? How many weeks does the average person take treatment?
So we offer two different types, and it's typically four sessions or eight sessions. We've seen the most benefit out of eight sessions. It all depends. If you're new to mental health, like if your mental health struggles are recent and you haven't really had that much time, or if you're new to like antidepressants, then four sessions can typically get us there. If you've been on certain medications for extended periods of time, or you've been struggling with depression or anxiety for longer than 12 months, and typically we recommend about eight sessions. And like I shared before, the one girl was, we got to session like seven or eight, and she said that, it wasn't until then. And by session six and seven, she's like, this isn't working, not for me. And then session eight, she's like, this is completely, like, this is the best I've felt in the last 25 plus years.
So it sometimes takes time. Yeah, it takes time.
It takes time. Yeah. I mean, another person that he told me for the last 15 or so years, he felt like he's been living his life in black and white. And then after his like fifth or sixth ketamine therapy session, he feels like he's in the Wizard of Oz, and the world is colorful again, and he's living, seeing the world differently, and living a happier, more fulfilled life. So that's a
great
very common
to thing. to your clinic and to this procedure, this process, which is
Thank
awesome.
You, Randy.
Okay, so how do we get in touch with you?
The best way would go to betterucare.com. So it's better, the letter ucare.com. Or Instagram is @betteryoucare. Same with Facebook, TikTok, all the social media platforms, LinkedIn. If you want to reach out and ask me questions personally, I'm here to help. If you're struggling, I'm here to help. My name is Derek Duchesne. My Instagram is Derek DDD. It's three D's. And I'm here to help anybody that's going through something and listen. And if this isn't the right treatment for you, that's okay. We tell people every day that, this may not be, but I'm also here to help share what I've learned through my journey and what helps. And so thank you for
awesome.
Allowing me to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and sharing this with us. It's been a really great education. It's been great to talk to you, and, have a wonderful day. I hope that people do contact you, because I know a lot
Thank
of
you,
my listeners are really struggling. So
Thank you,
what I usually do is, I do talk. I work with them. I work trying to deprogram what has been put in there that they can't access with their logical brain. But there's times where we hit a wall. And I always say, we need other intervention here. And so this is great to know.
Yeah, and with talk therapy, because I still go to talk therapy, and a lot of people, and we work with a lot of therapists, and they say that like that's their most challenging patients they'll send to this kind of treatment, because it's like that catalyst, right? And our brains are very effective, efficient machines, right? And after our late teens, we keep getting stuck in that default mode network, and as the older that we get, that's a kind of our operating system for life, right? So the older that we get, like our thought patterns and our programming, we've just been going down that same path for so long that it become rigid. And when you say, oh, so-and-so is so stuck in his ways, or so stuck in this, it's like, it's not their fault. It's just how our brains work, right? So this is kind of that shortcut to allow us to break out of those thought patterns. So it's like, allow us to, it's like that, you know, if our brain was a mountain, right? Imagine that our all the lines in our brain is our thought pattern. So this is like a fresh coat of snow over the mountain. Nice. That allows us to break out of those thought patterns and carve new ones, right? So when done with talk with alongside talk therapy is when you're really going to see the best or the most benefits coming out of this treatment, because it allows you to really be receptive. And if you're looking at traditional like CBT or psychodynamic exercises, then they have not worked before, where people are like, I feel weird doing positive affirmations every day, or this doesn't feel, you know, I feel like I'm phoning it in, or I feel like I'm this or I'm that. When you do that with this type of therapy, it allows us, you know, it allows us to be more receptive to that kind of programming in these exercises. So that's where we've seen a lot of success. So
good. Well, that's
thank
all
you,
good.
Randy.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's great information. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we stop?
Yeah, I've heard before.
Okay.
Wait a minute, let me see. I don't know if we stopped. Let me just...